This is The Record on KUOW 94.9 Seattle News and Information. Thank you for tuning in today. I'm Bill Radke. A major decision on President Trump's immigration ban may be coming today. As you probably know, a judge in Seattle temporarily halted the ban after Washington State filed a lawsuit against it. This afternoon, a federal appeals court will consider the president's request to reinstate that travel ban. And to help sort this out, we are joined by Emily Bazelon, staff writer for the New York Times Magazine and a research scholar in law at Yale University. Emily, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Will you please remind our listeners why Seattle federal judge James Robart sided with the state of Washington in this case?
Sure. Judge Robart said, so he was siding with the state of Washington in granting a temporary restraining order against President Trump's executive order. And that's the very preliminary stage of the proceedings that temporarily blocks the order from going into effect. And he said that Washington had met its burden of showing that there was going to be immediate and irreparable injury from the order, and that that was because that the order was going to seriously affect Washington residents in terms of their employment, going to school, businesses, and their freedom to travel.
And you've said, Emily, that the argument the U.S. government is making to reinstate the ban is remarkable. What is remarkable about it?
Well, over the weekend, the government, the Justice Department, filed a brief arguing against the role of courts in what it called second-guessing the actions of the president, and actually said that those actions, from the government's point of view, should be unreviewable. And so that's a claim not simply that Trump should win in court, but that judges really don't have a role in refereeing this order and in deciding whether it should go into effect at all.
And what's the basic thumbnail history of courts being able to, as you say, second guess the president on some things?
That's a great question. There's a big decision that was issued during the Truman administration when Truman tried to prevent a strike that was related to production of war materials.
And right, the steelmakers.
Exactly, the steelmakers. And at that point, the Supreme Court talked about three levels of executive power and said the president has the most power when Congress has explicitly granted to him, and the least power when Congress has not done that and has forbid him from taking a certain action. Kind of makes sense in separation of powers. And so the Justice Department is arguing that here Congress has expressly given Trump the authority to block whole classes of refugees and travelers and visa holders from other countries. And the question is whether the courts will agree with that. There are some competing provisions of the law that are also at stake that seem to tilt in the other direction.
So what could happen today?
Well, the judges are going to hear the arguments. They're going to ask a lot of questions of the parties. And what you normally hear in an oral argument like this is judges, sometimes they test out their own premises, and sometimes they kind of probe the weak spots in another party's argument. So they might think that the Trump administration has gone quite far in arguing that this executive order is unreviewable. They'll likely ask about statements President Trump has made in which he talked about giving preference to Christian refugees over Muslim refugees. Mm-hmm. That sounds like religious discrimination, and so that could come up in the argument as a weak point for the government.
No matter what happens today, Emily, is this Washington State case headed for the U.S. Supreme Court?
Yes, I think so. I mean, the Supreme Court gets to decide which cases it hears, but this seems like precisely the kind of big question in an area of vital but unsettled law that the Supreme Court would want to weigh in on, and indeed should weigh in on, so that the country has a better sense of the parameters of presidential power in a situation like this.
And this is, again, remarkable because right now the U.S. Supreme Court's only got 8 members on it. What's your prediction on whether and how the court, how the court would handle that, if at all, and then how the court might rule?
Well, that's a great question, and I'm not sure of the answer, but there's an interesting case from last term that tells us a little something. So the last time we were looking at a big executive order on immigration, it was from President Obama when he tried to grant deportation relief to a lot of immigrants who were brought to this country as children, the Dreamers, or to their families. And a bunch of states challenged his authority to do that. And the Supreme Court split 4-4. Didn't say which judges went in which direction, but upheld in that case an order from the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals that blocked Obama's order from going into effect. So that's the last time we saw kind of similar a similar case. And because that one split 4-4 and we don't know who voted in which direction, it's a little hard to say whether that will repeat itself or whether the different facts of the Trump order will lead to a different result.
We're talking with Emily Bazelon, staff writer for the New York Times Magazine, a research scholar in law at Yale University. A couple of more questions, please, Emily. As you've watched this legal battle play out, what's been most interesting to you?
Well, this is just the kind of giant case that really calls into question some fundamental issues of American law and also of American values. So one thing that I think we'll be looking for is what kind of evidence does the government have before it bars thousands of people who are already approved to come to this country? And what kind of message does that send about whether America welcomes refugees in a way it has traditionally done so? And then there's this huge question about the court's oversight of executive authority. And given that the Trump administration has been quite aggressive so far in expressing that authority and trying to exert it, we're kind of coming up on an important moment of seeing how the courts respond to that and whether they try to provide a check to executive authority or whether this is the kind of power of the president that they think they can approve.
Well, do judges and justices just stick to the law in this, or do they send a message to a president and say, whoa, 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 easy there?
It's not really their job to send a message in the abstract. And there is law to look at here because Congress did grant the authority to the president to omit classes of different kinds of immigrants. But it also charged the president with not discriminating on the basis of religion or nationality in issuing visas. So there is a lot of statutory language for the justices and the judges to interpret. It's really the question of the Trump administration and its flexing of its muscles is really the backdrop for this case.
Final question, Emily Bazelon. President Trump said that Judge Robart of Seattle is a so-called judge who made a ridiculous ruling. That's unusual. It's maybe outrageous. How much actual threat do you think comments like that pose to America's independent judiciary?
I think judges like Judge Robart have the wherewithal and the credibility to ignore comments like that. But I do think there's a question of whether it undermines public confidence in the judiciary and even poses a real physical risk to judges. You know, it's quite incendiary President Trump also said that Judge Robart would be to blame if any of the people coming into the country committed crimes, presumably, committed acts of violence. And that kind of blaming of a judge could make them a real target.
Emily Bazelon, staff writer, New York Times Magazine, research scholar in law at Yale University. Emily, thanks for laying this out for us.
Thanks for having me.
She'll surely be listening as we get those arguments, oral arguments, to reinstate the president's travel ban begin at 3 o'clock this afternoon. The case of Washington State versus Donald J. Trump goes to a federal appellate court. We'll keep you posted here on KUOW 94.9 Seattle News and Information.